welcome to Talking Topics, a program interviewing people from all walks of life from the greater Worcester area addressing all kinds of topics. This show is brought to you by Audio Journal and sponsored by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. Opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. And now, here's our host of Talking Topics, Bill Ruggiero.
Well, today's show, I got a very special guest. He's from Seven Hills, Aspire, and he's also a poet here in Worcester, Massachusetts. His name is Jerome Ellis. Good afternoon, Jerome.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us where you're from and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Jerome Ellis. I was born and raised in Worcester, Massachusetts. I then moved to the Webster-Dudley area where I graduated from Bartlett High School.
Wow. Did you have, like, good grades or?
My grades were decent at best. I had to maintain a B average or else my father wouldn't let me participate in sports.
Yes. What kind of sports did you participate in?
I played basketball and I ran track and field.
Wow. Did you win any awards with that?
I have won many awards. I have many school records between Shepherd Hill and Bartlett in track and field and basketball.
And what position in basketball did you play?
I played the small forward and the three, and I was mainly a defensive player when I went to Bartlett.
Can you describe to me what a small forward is?
Yeah, the small forward would basically be the three position, the shooting guard and the small forward. Those are my two positions. One would be down low and one would be up out on the wing.
Could you, like, shoot three-pointers?
Oh, I love to shoot three-pointers.
Yes.
That's my absolute favorite.
Do you remember, like, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and Robert Parrish?
Absolutely. Larry Bird is the reason why I wore number 33 in high school.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Wow. I love Larry Bird, and my favorite broadcaster was Johnny Most when I was a kid. I used to listen to Johnny all the time.
That's great. I used to love Johnny Most.
Yep, and I remember the Celtics winning the championship and things like that. And
that was the 86 championship,
yes,
correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
With Bird, McHale, and Parrish, and Jerry Seasting, and it was good. And Cedric Maxwell used to play basketball, too.
Absolutely.
Yep, he did. And question number two is about poetry. You write poetry. How long have you been writing poetry?
So I started writing poetry as an accident around 2007, I'd say.
Wow. What kind of poems do you write?
Usually I write family-based poetry based on true life experiences. I like to be honest and raw with my poetry, use some sentence enhancers there and there.
Yes, I do like poetry too because Carole King has a poem out called Chicken Soup and Rice. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not heard of that.
Well, she does kids' songs, and I remember a play that I used to be in called Really Rosie. It's about this girl, Rosie, who's, you know, has a boyfriend, Chicken Soup and Rice. and then they sing the song for Chicken Soup and Rice. And I can remember one time I was a thing of chicken soup, and I had a costume, and I was dressed up in a chicken costume, and I had a chicken soup can tied to the back of me.
Really?
Yeah. So coming out on stage, and then the can falls off.
Oh, no.
It's funny.
That's amazing.
And I can always remember that day. And what kind of family poems do you write?
So the way that I grew up, we were poor. So I write about my upbringing a lot, about traumatic, about funny, about things that hurt my feelings or touch my soul or anything that would make the reader feel what I was feeling when I wrote it.
Yeah, well, it's good to write a poem about feelings because, you know, it gets all your stress out.
Exactly.
And it's good just to sit there and write. And that's what I do when I'm stressed out. I go in my room, I go into my note file on my phone, and I would dictate a note. And I would write it and stuff like that. But I wouldn't show it to anybody.
No, you didn't like to share?
Well, I do like to share some notes. But I did write a story one time about Harry and the Bee, Harry and the Bumblebee. And I sent it to Harry, who is the guy you met.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked the story. And it's about Harry. And he's working at Audio Journal doing the weather. And a bee comes buzzing in, and he plop, and it lands on Harry's head. And then what happens is when the bee comes on Harry's head, the bee buzzes around his ears, and Harry gets annoyed, and he jumps up and says, "Hey, get off of me." And then the bee is buzzing around, so then Harry gets annoyed and calls Jen, you know, one of the secretaries, who I put as Jennifer Daly.
Gotcha.
And who is one of the rehab teachers for the Commission for the Blind. And so that she goes to Home Depot and there's a thunderstorm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the sky grows dark and the thunderclouds are coming and it starts raining. So then she gets a bug away spray, and then she comes back and the cap is on so tight you couldn't even, you needed scissors. So she snips off the cap and hands it to Harry. And Harry sprays the bee, and things like that. And then after Harry is relieved and the bee flies out the window on the rainy day.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Do you write stories that rhyme, or do you just write stories that tell the story?
Well, I write stories that rhyme sometimes. Like for instance, I have a mind because my cousin used to like Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's all he ate was macaroni and cheese. So I thought of a story about him. It's called My Cousin and Mac and Cheese.
That's a great story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to write about that. I noticed that you're our case manager over at Seven Hills Aspire.
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about your job?
My job, I always tell people we do God's work. We work with people like yourself, people with special needs that need a little assistance in their lives. And it's our job to come in and make sure that they receive the care that they deserve.
Yes, yes. And how long have you been working for us?
I've been there for almost 7 months.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing how time goes by so fast.
It really does.
Yeah, and school starts next week in Worcester.
That's correct.
Yeah, and the school buses are going to be out on the roads.
Yeah, they're not my favorite.
And not my favorite either, but, you know, and the cab drivers always complain about them because, you know, they have to stop.
Right.
And they don't make money that way.
No, we got to keep going.
Yep. And tell us about your hobbies. Now, what are your hobbies?
So, as you know, my main hobby right now is writing poetry, writing books. I have one book published, and I have another one on the way. I also wrote a couple of children's books that are in the works. I spend time with my kids and my family.
Yeah. What kind of children's books have you written?
So, my youngest son, Jaden, has type 1 diabetes. He's a type 1 diabetic, so I wrote a book about his diabetic journey. I wrote a book about my sister's dog who sheds hair all over the house.
Oh, wow.
I wrote a book about a bunch of children called The Struggles, and it's about children who struggle with different feats in their lives.
Yeah.
And all these books are, they're in the works, hopefully to be published soon.
You know, maybe you could write a book about me.
Yeah, what would I write about, Bill?
Well, you could write about me as a broadcaster.
That would be a good
one. You know, and how broadcasting will become a great idea for blind people because mm-hmm. there's like audio description out there. Even when you go to a ball game and a blind person can understand what's going on in the game by listening to the audio description. And there's a little radio station called iAudio Radio. And they broadcast on the concourse. My friend Jack Peacock, who runs his own radio station, and he broadcasts from Poa Park Concourse, and he sits up there. I don't know if you've been there. He sits in Section 7. Next time you go over there, you know, you can say hi, and they'll say hi to you.
I'll have to introduce myself, yeah.
Yeah, and they tell you what's going on in the stadium as well as what's going on in the field.
That's great.
Yeah, let's say someone hits a home run, and they tell you where the ball is going and stuff like that, and they give you a blow-by-blow description.
So would I write a blow-by-blow description of how you do your broadcast?
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I kind of like that. Also, I love to walk at St. V's, and because I know my way around and stuff like that. And because St. Vincent's Hospital has an atrium where you can walk around, and they have different plants and trees there. They're like fake trees and plants and stuff like that. And they have a waterfall running because of the trains. And there's a train that goes underneath St. Vincent's. You know that?
Yep.
You know where it is, right?
I do. And so that's your favorite place to go?
Yep. I love that place. Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. I'm with Jerome Ellis, and you listen to Talking Topics on Audio Journal.
What's your vision?
My vision's 20/200.
Light perception in the right eye and zero vision in the left eye.
20/200 at best on my left eye, and on my right eye, I cannot see.
No, I mean, what's your vision?
My goal is to become a journalist.
To be able to work.
Financial independence.
My vision is employment opportunities for all, including people with disabilities.
My vision is for all of my students to dream big.
That he become fully independent.
For my patients to live their best lives.
What's your vision?
What's your vision?
What is your vision?
At the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, our vision is clear. We believe that all people who are blind or visually impaired should have the opportunity to work and thrive. To learn how we can help you meet your employment or workforce goals, call 800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/mcb.
You say you love a good book, that you enjoy listening to a good story that piques your interest, which challenges your imagination to explore places where it has never gone before? If so, then Audio Journal's Backyard Bookshelf is for you. Backyard Bookshelf is Audio Journal's award-winning book reading program that always has a local flavor, featuring books about New England, as well as books written by local authors or native New Englanders, be it fiction or nonfiction. So join us, won't you? Just tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. and enjoy. That's Backyard Bookshelf, a production of Audio Journal.
Okay, well, welcome back. And I'm with Jerome Ellis. So, Jerome, what is your favorite restaurant to go to here in Worcester, Massachusetts?
I have to go old school and say Coney Island.
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah.
They've been around for many, many years. I don't know how long they've been around for. Do you know that?
It's got to be, is it 100 years now? Did they just serve their last anniversary?
I think so.
We'll have to check that.
Because Coney Island started in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And My favorite is the chili dog. What do you chili like dog. There?
I like mine loaded with everything. Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You got to have the coney sauce, the onions, and the relish and everything.
And they do sell sausages there too, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
And you got to have the chocolate milk.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had the chocolate milk. I haven't tried that yet.
Oh, you got to have the chocolate milk. That's old school.
Yeah. I do like chocolate milk. Yeah. Because I remember in high school, I used to have chocolate milk.
So after we won the district championship in basketball back in 1994, I'm dating myself, we went to Coney Island and had hot dogs to celebrate.
Wow. And chocolate milk.
With chocolate milk. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And what's your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, my favorite vacation spot. I'd have to say Florida. I love Florida.
Yeah. Well, my favorite vacation spot is Chicago.
Really? What's in Chicago?
Well, my aunt lives there. Her name is Rosemary Stewart.
Okay.
And she is one of my best aunts in the entire world. And she takes me every year to Wheaton, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And what she does is she has her own condo. She lives on the fifth floor, and she lives in this condo. It's really, really nice. And I have my own room there and my own bathroom, which is cool. And I get to make myself at home at her house.
That's great.
Yeah.
You ever go to a Bulls game?
Well, I've never been to a Bulls game. Never been. Have you?
No, Chicago Bulls were my favorite team growing
up.
Yeah,
with my
Celtics.
With Michael Jordan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but now they have a whole new team, whole new coach, and the Bulls are not that good, you know?
No, not as good as they used to be, that's for
sure.
Yeah,
yeah. But the Celtics have won championships. And what's your favorite sports? What's your favorite sport?
I would have to say I still love basketball. I still love football and track and field.
Yeah, and what do you think about the Patriots this year? You think?
I don't have high hopes for the Patriots, but I would love to see them win.
Yeah, me too. I think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Really?
I feel it, you know. I think Vrabel is what they need.
Okay.
In a coach. Because he's an enthusiastic coach. He talks about, he's always happy when they do the press conferences and stuff like that. He's always cheerful. And I just think that, you know, that another championship is looming for the Patriots.
But can they put up enough points to win each week? That's the question.
I think so. I really do. And they look good in the preseason, so might as well.
When do they play again? They play tonight?
Yep, tonight at 8 p.m. at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, playing the New York Giants.
Yeah, we don't like the Giants. Go Patriots.
Yeah, I know. Go Patriots. And my prediction for the scores tonight, it's going to be 24-16 Patriots.
That's a good score.
Yep.
I'm going to go 17-10
okay.
Patriots.
All right, well, we'll see tomorrow who wins.
Yes, sir.
Well, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Myself in 5 years.
Yep.
Hopefully still gainfully employed, with several books published, happy and healthy kids, happy and healthy family, and just living life, worshiping God, keeping everything easy, nice and easy.
Okay. Yeah, with your books and everything, do you guys have a website?
Actually have a website in the works, and I was actually asking people for what the title should be.
Well,
you got a title for me, Bill?
I don't know. Let's see. I'll think of something.
The problem is my name is Jerome Ellis, and so for me to do JeromeEllis.com, I don't like the running E's, ending an E, starting an E.
You could do EllisWorldBooks.com.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. My last website was called TappedPoetry.com.
Well, you can name it Ellis World of Books.
Ellis World of Books.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
You think people would know that I was an author and a poet by that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you could call it Ellis World of Poetry and Books.
There you go. That's a long title.
Yeah. Well, I like Ellis World of Books because it has a good ring to it.
It does.
Yeah, it does. And, well, before we wrap up, do you have any questions for me?
Yes. What is a day in the life for Mr. Bill?
Well, the day in the life for me is, I get up at 5:30 in the morning, very, very early.
Okay.
You know, before the sun comes up. I listen to either WBZ radio or I go on my ChatGPT. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I've heard of ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really like it. And what I do is I talk to her and stuff. I ask her the weather and she says that it's supposed to be nice tomorrow. It's supposed to be 75 tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and the weekend's supposed to be like 80 degrees.
Nice.
Yeah, and then next week we're supposed to get a chance of thunderstorms by Monday.
Oh, okay.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is supposed to be cooler in the 70s. Gonna be beautiful.
I like this colder weather, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah, but. I was talking to GPT today and she was saying that we could get an early fall and the leaves are starting to change on the trees already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, after you listen to your ChatGPT, what comes next?
Well, what comes next is I go on my voice memos on my phone, my iPhone. I don't know if you have an iPhone.
No, I don't. I have a Samsung.
Oh, so what I do is I go on my voice memos and I hit record and I say, hello, audio journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero giving you the latest weather forecast. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies, highs near 72 degrees. For tonight, clear skies, low around 57 degrees. For tomorrow, it's calling for mostly sunny skies, highs near 81 degrees. For tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms, lows will be in the mid-60s. And the outlook for Saturday is calling for mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid-70s. And that is your latest weather forecast for today, Friday, the 22nd of August, and it's 2025.
Dude, you're great at what you do.
Yes, I do. And I do the same for the sports schedule.
Okay.
I look it up on GPT. Now today, the Worcester Red Sox are playing a doubleheader.
Okay.
That game begins at 4:05 p.m. They're underway right now.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Because they're playing the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, okay. Which is the farm team of the Florida Marlins. Because I find that out from GPT.
Okay.
And she said, and then they play in tomorrow at 6:45. They have fireworks. And Saturday they're playing at 4:05. Sunday they're playing at 1:05. And kids can run the bases on Sunday.
You have a great memory, my
yes,
friend.
Yes, 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 I do. And then the Worcester Red Sox off on Monday, and then they're starting a series with the Durham Bulls away on Tuesday through Sunday of next week.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay, so you finish that up, and then what happens for you?
And then I take a shower and get ready to go to program.
There you go.
Yep.
And then you get to spend the day with me.
Yep.
Good times.
And CC too.
And CC. Shout out to CC.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to CC. Yay. Yep. Well, anyway, I want to thank you for coming and I hope that you all can read his books and maybe we could read some of your books on Poets Corner.
That would be fun. You know, I appreciate that.
I don't know if anybody has any things to do like that, but we could possibly read your poems on Poets Corner, and maybe all the listeners can listen and enjoy it.
Yeah, I really like that. That'd be great.
And I like to go out with a little poem myself.
Okay.
It's called The Sunshine. It comes up in the west and sets in the east. Its warmth is on your face and on your body as you go out walking. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Enjoy the sunshine. And that's it.
Beautiful.
And I want to say that this program and Talking Topics, and thank you for joining me. I'm Bill Ruggiero saying have a great day, and we'll talk to you all later. Bye. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Bill Ruggiero. Welcome to another edition of Talking Topics. Today's show has been sponsored by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind, the Mass Commission for the Blind, and underwritten by Unibank. If you have any questions about our programs, please give us a call at 508-797-1117 or visit us on our website at www.audiojournal.org. Well, today, I got a very special guest today. His name is Bob Brinkle, and he's from New Bedford, Massachusetts. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me on your program. We appreciate it.
Yes, it's great to have you. Question number one, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us where you're from.
Well, I was born and raised in New Bedford, Massachusetts, where I still live. I am blind, though I did have some sight when I was younger. I lost most of my remaining sight in my 20s and early 30s due to optic atrophy. I attended a sight-saving class back in the 60s at one of my local elementary schools here in the city of New Bedford. I then went to Perkins School for the Blind from fifth grade through my senior year. I graduated from there in 1977.
Wow.
I thought I received a very, very excellent education at that school, by the way. Then I went to college. I went to junior college where I received an associate's degree in business administration. Then I transferred my credit to get my Bachelor of Science degree in finance at the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth, which was then called SMU. I also worked several jobs in my adult life. I worked in customer service. I worked as a receptionist from time to time. I've been a health benefits counselor, a writer, and also a news reporter,
wow,
among other things. So I've
wow
been very busy. Right now, I do two weekly podcasts. One of them is a sports program called Sports Roundtable, where we discuss sports once a week with several other panel members from throughout the country. And I also do another podcast called In Perspective, which is a weekly interview program where we interview special guests who talk about their projects, their hobbies, their jobs, and other endeavors and other important information which we feel would be beneficial for our listeners.
Tell us about your time as a news reporter. What did you have to report on?
Well, that was a job that I had, frankly, during COVID. I have a friend, I think he's deceased now, but back in the day he ran an internet radio station and he needed somebody to write and record the news for him to air once a week. And the name of my feature was called Weekly News in Review. I would compile some news stories, take a few notes, and write a little report, and then I would record it on an audio file and send it to the manager so that he could air the program on Sundays. I did this job for several months, from May to August, I believe, in the year 2020.
I think having the news people write the news for the blind, you know, maybe we could do that sometime, have a news show on Audio Journal for, you know, blindness and stuff. We could write news about what's going on in the town of Worcester, and, or maybe sometime people do things good. And we could do it as a good news thing. We don't have to worry, write about crimes and things. And I just would like to write things about what's going on in the community, what people are doing, the different organizations and stuff.
Indeed.
Okay, now we're going to get into your sports show, Sports
yes
Roundtable. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, I started Sports Roundtable back in November of 2017, I had several friends who enjoyed sports, and one day we just ended up speaking on Skype. And I said, why don't we just start a sports show? This is a great idea. So for the first few years of the show, we recorded it on Skype. And then as Zoom evolved, we switched over to Zoom, and that's more convenient for most people.
Yes.
So now we
yes.
do the show on Zoom every Monday afternoon from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I've done over 370 episodes in the past 7-plus years.
That's amazing.
And we've also had some special guests on our show, including two former Red Sox players, Jim Lomborg and Bill Lee.
Wow, that's really cool.
I wouldn't mind Brian Rose.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing an interview with Jim Lomborg and Bill Lee. You know, we could talk about baseball. Who else have you had as a guest? Have you had any Patriots players?
We've had some writers from ESPN, reporters from ESPN, mm-hmm. that is.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also had some other different people in sports. For example, we've had some hockey announcers and some baseball announcers. We've had Tim Neverett on our show, who used to broadcast for the Red Sox, and then he ended up with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
We had him.
Yeah.
We've had Bob Soci. From the New England Patriots.
I remember him. Yeah.
And we're trying to get Bob Soci back on again, by the way, and we're also trying to get Joe Castiglione on our show.
Oh, yeah, too. Because he's long retired, and now they've hired Lou Maloney and Will Fleming to do the Red Sox games.
Lou Maloney is one of the best baseball analysts I've ever heard.
Yes, he is.
He's wonderful.
And I really like Lou. He's cool. Getting into sports, what is your prediction for this year's Super Bowl?
I think that the Kansas City Chiefs have a good shot of repeating again. Although I would love to see a team like the Commanders win, because the Commanders are the Cinderella team right now. They ended up beating the Lions. I really thought the Lions were going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But when the Commanders beat the Lions, I said, you know what? Maybe the Commanders are destined to win it. It would be great to have somebody new win the Super Bowl.
Well, I think it's going to be, I think the Buffalo Bills are going to be in the Super Bowl with the Commanders.
So you think Buffalo's going to beat Kansas City this weekend?
Yes. Yes, I do. And my prediction for the final score is going to be Buffalo 35, Kansas City 10.
Wow, you've got the score figured out. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And the Commanders are going to beat the Eagles. Let's see. I predict Commanders 35 and the Eagles 17.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite a spread. Now, this is Harry again. I want to ask a question of the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
So the rookie, the quarterback for the Commanders is a rookie,
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when was, Bob, you might know this, or maybe Bill, when was the last time that we had a rookie quarterback in an NFL championship game? Do you remember?
I think it was Brady. I think.
Well, I'm trying to think back whether Brady was drafted in 2000 or whether he was drafted in 2001. If he was drafted in 2001, Brady definitely won a Super Bowl as a rookie. I just don't recall, though, whether he was drafted that year or the previous year.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know either.
We'll find out that stat.
That's right. And what about, I read somewhere where Joe Flacco made it either to the playoffs or to the championship game when he was a rookie with the Ravens.
Yeah, he did.
I love all these.
I don't recall, but I remember the Ravens making the playoffs quite a lot. Well, they still do. They seem to be a perennial playoff team.
Yeah, they've got a good coach.
And a good quarterback, Jackson.
That's right. The Harbaugh brothers, Jim and John, are good coaches.
Yes.
Yeah. Back to you, Bill. What other burning questions you have for Bob?
Okay. All right. So now we're going to go to your other podcast, In Perspective. How did you get that name, In Perspective, and what does it mean?
A friend of mine and I decided to use the same approach that I used with Sports Roundtable. We got together and we decided to do a show on Skype where we would talk about various topics. We would pick a topic, whether it's blindness issues, politics, medicine, health, employment, sports, athleticism. Well, we've had a lot of authors on our show, and the topics vary. They are unlimited. And frankly, we started that show before we started Sports Roundtable.
Wow.
And we do that show on a regular basis as well. We've done 395 episodes. We started that show back in May of 2017. It was a half-hour show at first, and then we lengthened it to 1 hour.
Yes.
And we've had a lot of different guests on our show.
Like Harry Duchesne. Yes, you
like
did.
Like Harry Duchesne, yes. He was on recently.
Yes.
That's right. And this is Harry again. And I, just for our listeners listening today, I strongly recommend Bob's show. Bob, I find you very professional with your approach, your introductions. You're very welcoming. You're very accessible. And you keep everything on topic, if you know what I mean. And it's really a joy to listen to the interaction. And I love how you're so relaxed. That says a lot about your character. So it's very enjoyable to listen to your show, not just to because it can be entertaining, but it's also very informative. And that's what I like about it.
Well, yes. Thank you, Harry. Well, my first goal and my first objective is to please the listener. When I do programs like this, my first priority are the listeners, because without them, we don't have a show.
That's right.
We want the listeners to guide us. This is why I always welcome comments from listeners, because to me, we are directed by them. That's why we want to hear from them. And we want to make sure that they're comfortable with us, because if they're not comfortable, they won't listen. And if they don't listen, why have a show?
That's right. That's right. And you get a lot of listeners. And when is your show on, In Perspective?
Our live broadcasts are on Friday afternoons from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Zoom. We do have some people who participate live. I have a mailing list. I send out the links to the people on my list, and they're welcome to participate halfway through the show after we do a half an hour of straight interviewing. I do have a co-host. His name is Peter Altschul. I'll give him a plug. And we interview the guest for a half an hour, and then we devote the second half of our program to our participants.
Yes. Wow. Cool. Maybe we can get the link from you for the listeners later in the show.
Yes, because I would like to also give out my email address if it's possible. That way we can get more subscribers. Because
okay.
The list that I have that I send the links to
mm-hmm.
for the Zoom invitation,
yes.
They also get a copy of the show when it's released a few days later.
Oh, cool. And we air it on Audio Journal. I don't know when.
Yes, we do. Bob, can you go ahead and tell us that email?
It's BobBranco93. That's BobBranco93@gmail.com. That's BobBranco93, BobBranco93@gmail.com. And by the way, BobBranco93 is one word.
Okay, got it.
Oh, good.
And we'll come back to that at the end.
Yep. Harry, want to take a break?
Sure, we'll take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break and be back right after this. You'll listen to Audio Journal, Talking Topics. We are back here at Audio Journal with Bob Brinkel. Hey, Bob, tell us, do you have any hobbies?
I enjoy listening to the four professional sports teams in Boston.
Yeah.
At any opportunity, I put on the radio and listen to the Bruins, the Red Sox, the Patriots, and the Celtics. Although my wife and I, we put on NESN and we watch the Bruins on NESN. We love Judd Surratt, and my wife loves to see the action on the ice. So we watch the Bruins on NESN for the most part.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the four professional sports teams. That's one of my hobbies.
Yes. And
I also bowl on Sunday mornings. I run a bowling league for persons with disabilities.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing that now for the better part of 30 years. And we bowl from September to May or June, and we have a good time.
Wow. Where do you guys bowl
We bowl at an establishment known as the Wonder Bowl here in New Bedford, Massachusetts. They're very accommodating.
Oh, wow.
They even provide ramps for wheelchair bowlers.
Wow.
Bob, this is Harry. I loved it. Whenever I talk about bowling with friends, I used to be embarrassed by this, but now I love to talk about it. Whenever my wife and I go bowling, we always ask them to put the guardrails up. And, you know, I'm 64 years old, so they look at me kind of funny. Well, sir, we usually do that for the kids. And I said, yeah, but you know what? I love to careem the ball off those guardrails and try and make some trick shots. Do you have any trick shots? What's your favorite way to use the lanes?
I bowl as normally as I possibly can. We have no guardrails in my bowling alley, or I should say the bowling alley that my league is housed in. We don't use guardrails. What happens in my case is somebody guides me up to the lane and I am directed, and then I just throw the ball once I'm directed. My average is about an 80.
Not bad.
Wow, not bad. Yeah, I've been bowling before, and I really like it. I really enjoy it. I went bowling at Perkins. We do.
So did I.
Yes, we do do bowling with Seven Hills, but I'm not doing it this year because there's a lot of people doing it. I do want to go bowling, and I was thinking about starting a bowling league here in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I was thinking about a bowling week for the visually impaired, and I thought maybe it would be great to do it.
When did you bowl at Perkins?
Back in the late 80s. Because I went in 78 or 79 was my first year at Perkins.
I graduated in 77.
Wow.
Were you in lower school in 78?
Yes.
Or did you go directly to upper?
I was in lower school.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I was.
Now, you mentioned something about guardrails, and I remember when I bowled at Perkins, because I was in one or two bowling tournaments mm-hmm. myself mm-hmm. at Perkins when I was in high school, and we used guardrails all the time because, you know, we were a blind school and the league was completely blind, or, you know, or at least visually impaired as well as totally blind bowlers.
Right.
So we had guardrails all the time that we used.
Yeah. Yeah. I love bowling, and I love the sport too, and I think that maybe the listeners who are listening maybe want to join my bowling league in Worcester, or maybe we can try to do something like that for the visually impaired, and I think it'll be great on the weekends. People can come out and bowl.
Well, from my experience, Bill, it doesn't really take a lot of effort to start a bowling league. All I did was round up 20 or 25 bowlers back in 1993.
Yep.
And once I got commitments from enough people, I contacted the bowling alley management. We bowled at another alley at the time back then here in Fairhaven. And I told them that we had a league. We coordinated the schedule, and then we invited all the bowlers to participate once a week, and it worked out well.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something I want to do, like on a Saturday or something, and have people come out and bowl with us, and you know, and have some pizza and bowl, and it'll be great, and then we can have lunch after.
And yeah. Bill, some of your friends from Seven Hills might be interested in a Seven Hills bowling league too with your buddies there. So
yeah.
I think you have a lot of different choices, and this has been a great conversation. What a great hobby. Bowling is a great hobby.
Yes, it is. What other hobbies do you have, Bob?
I publish a magazine.
Oh, you
monthly.
Do?
It's called Consumer Vision.
Wow.
I've been doing that since 2006. Hmm. And you can find back issues at www.consumervisionmagazine.com. And you can even subscribe to it. There's an option there for you to do that.
Wow.
Can you repeat that website one more time, please?
www.consumervisionmagazine.com. That's all one word.
Right.
.com.
.com. Great.
And we talk mostly about blindness issues, although we do recipes, sports. We have health articles. We have identity theft articles. We cover a lot of ground. Obviously, we think about the consumer, thus the name of the magazine.
Right, right. Well, Bill, we have about, if we're going to stick to a half-hour show program, we have about 4 minutes or so left of recording.
Yes.
Do you have any other questions you want to ask, Bob?
What is your favorite restaurant?
I have several.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. There are several restaurants that I like to go to here in southeastern Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to name a couple?
Yeah, sure.
I like the 99 restaurant.
So do I, because
I figured I'd mention that one first because it's probably more well-known to your listeners than any local mom-and-pop restaurant that I can name.
I love their steak there. It's pretty good. I've gotten steak there, like mac and cheese.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's good. I like that. And also, I like their chicken tenders are pretty good.
I do, too.
Yes.
So I know Bill is not a vegetable guy. Are you a vegetable guy, Bob?
That depends on what the vegetable is, Harry. There are a lot of vegetables that I don't eat, to be honest with you, but there are some that I eat.
I don't eat carrots. I don't like carrots.
See, I do. I eat carrots.
No, thank you.
I eat corn. I eat beans. I eat lettuce.
Oh, yeah. I eat lettuce, tomatoes. I love tomatoes. I like onions. I like onions on everything.
How about peppers, Bill?
Yeah. I like peppers. Oh, yeah.
So you'd probably like tacos.
Do you like tacos?
So-so. I can't say either way. I don't eat them that much. I do like quesadillas, though.
Oh, yeah. Quesadillas are good. All right. One last question. Do you have any questions for me?
Not at the moment, Bill. Let me just say that you do a good job. I like your effort that you put forth on a show like this. I can relate because of what I do. So I can just tell you from my own personal experience that I think you're doing a great job, and you're making an all-out effort to have a quality program, and I think your listeners would appreciate that.
And I hope that I could be interviewed on In Perspective soon.
Well, why don't we set up a time? I'll contact Harry, or he'll put me in touch with you, and we'll do that. I think that's a great idea, Bill. It's called cross-promotion.
Right.
That's right.
Right. We could do that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, Bob.
Oh, can I mention one more thing? I'm a writer.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I have time to mention this or not.
Of course.
I am a writer.
Of course, Bob.
Okay. I've written 5 self-published books. They are called As I See It, From a Blind Man's Perspective,
mm-hmm.
Another one is called My Home Away From Home, Life at Perkins School for the Blind. And then I did a series called Weighing Things Up, Essays on Trends, Technology, and Present-Day Society. That's book one and book two, although book one is not titled book one. It's just Weighing Things Up. And then the next one is Weighing Things Up, book two, more essays on trends, technology, and present-day society. And then there's a cookbook called What We Love to Eat, which consists of recipes submitted by blind cooks throughout the country.
Wow! That's
and you
amazing.
Can find information on all of these books by going to, here's another website, www.dldbooks.com/Robert Branko.
Wow,
that's DLD,
amazing.
That stands for David Lima David.
Wow.
And you'll have all the information there about my self-published books.
Oh, that's great. We're going to have to... We did read one of your books here for our show called Backyard Bookshelf.
Which book was it?
I believe it was... I thought it was that one, but it is one of your books more autobiographical?
The one about Perkins is
okay.
My Home Away From Home.
Okay, that's the one we read. That's the one we read.
Oh, right.
But I think our plan is to read and record all of your books, and then we can have a set.
We can talk about that.
Yeah. I wonder if your books are on Bard.
I believe one of them or two, maybe. I don't use Bard, admittedly, so I really couldn't tell you honestly.
Well, I'll check it out.
All right.
All right. Well, I think we should start wrapping it up, right, Harry?
We can. And I just wanted to ask Bob one more question.
Okay.
All the topics you cover, especially on In Perspective, which are, as you say, you try to pick topics, you know, from the listeners and topics regarding the blind community and the visually impaired community. Are there any topics that you'd like to suggest to our listeners or any topic that you think is a really important one right now?
Well, I don't think enough time is spent on health, nutrition, exercise, fitness. I think we should focus a little bit more on topics like that as often as we can. That's only my
opinion. Yes. Yeah, that's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Yes.
Bill and I are part of the Worcester Low Vision Support Group at the Worcester Senior Center, and that comes up quite a bit. And we're also members of the Bay State Council of the Blind, the local chapter here. And those topics do come up a bit, actually a lot. And I'm glad you mentioned it because it does need to be addressed. It is important. One of our listeners tells me, I think you know her, Sharon Strokowski.
Yes, I do. In fact, she's a participant, I believe, on some episodes of In Perspective.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And she raves about doing exercise, attending her exercise class at the Worcester Senior Center. I think one of them are chair exercises. And she loves it. She never misses it. You know, God bless her. She's a good role model for us.
Oh, yeah. I've done chair exercise at Seven Hills. I used to do that.
Yeah,
that's great.
And we won't let the listeners know about how many granola bars you eat every day.
Yeah, right.
I eat granola bars too.
I love granola bars.
So do I.
All right. Well, again, Bob, thank you so much for being available with us today.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and it's been really cool, and I hope that we can do it next time. Maybe after the Super Bowl, we could talk more about it.
Sounds like the plan, Bill.
Yes. Yes.
And before Bill gives the closing lines, I just want to let you know that our local chapter of the Bay State Council of the Blind is planning on taking a trip to the New Bedford Whaling Museum, and we want to, and I might have told you this already, but we want to include you and your wife as part of that trip. So we'll let you know as we get closer with the details.
Yes, yes, yes.
Keep us in the loop.
Okie doke.
We will. All right. And this ends our show here on Talking Topics. This has been Bill Ruggiero. Our show is provided by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind, the Mass Commission for the Blind, and underwritten by Unibank. If you have any questions about our programs, please give us a call at 508-797-1117 or visit us on our website at www.audiojournal.org, where you can find this program and all the other programs. Well, this has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a great week and a great month, and we'll talk again next month on another edition of Talkin' Topics. Bye.
This is Bird Note. Ornithologist Bill Evans has helped us better understand the sounds that birds make as they migrate at night. Known as nocturnal flight calls, many species can be identified based on their signature sound, like this green heron. Using special handmade microphones left outside overnight, Evans, his colleagues, and many volunteers recorded countless nocturnal flight calls to catalog and identify the sounds. But we're still working to understand these calls. Some are very similar to each other. Others have never been identified. Some of the many modern-day mysteries that biologists face. But for now, take a moment to revel in the beauty of the calls that birds make at night while flying hundreds or even thousands of feet in the air. This clip is from a six-hour recording of squeaks, whistles, and peeps from thousands of birds passing over a hayfield in central New York State. You'll hear a few crickets, too. Learn more about nocturnal flight calls and how you can record them on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, some of them worth talking about.
One reason English has such a gargantuan vocabulary is because there are 67 countries, from Antigua to Zimbabwe, whereas English is either the official language or one of two or more official languages. Canada, for example, has two, English and French. Each English has words and phrases that could confuse, even discombobulate other English speakers. English is one example. That is the mix of English and Hindi spoken by millions of English speakers in India, where they say things like, "My friend is eating my brain," which means my friend will not stop talking. And if someone in Jamaica asks, "Wagwan," they're asking, "What's going on?" In Barbados, the English for someone showing off or being pompous is "papasetic." And if someone in South Africa tells you they'll do something just now, they will do it later. In any case, we'll look at more English silliness again just now, and by that I do mean later.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Europeans love the game football, or what we commonly call soccer. The excitement of attending a game often increases dramatically when you're surrounded by the crowd screaming for their favorite teams and players. Not long ago, Coventry, England hosted a soccer tournament. Following the introduction of the players and the singing of the national anthem, an announcement came over the PA asking the crowd to keep the noise to a minimum throughout the game. Why would such a strange request be made?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
The tournament was being played by five teams of blind soccer players. The soccer ball they used was filled with 100 ball bearings. Everyone had to remain quiet so that the players could hear the ball's location.
And now back to our regular programming.